Welcome to the Unfunny Kevin Show. I am your host, Kevin Melody. It's Monday, January 10th. Happy New Year. I'm saying it fucking way late into the new year, and I don't apologize for missing last week, because like all the times I'm not showing up, there were things happening. There was movement. There was shit I had to deal with. I'm actually, to be brutally honest, I don't even remember what it was. I think I had Monday off. It was the end of my vacation, which we'll get into, but anyway, I missed it. I hope you had a nice New Year. We talked in the last podcast about how awful New Year's is, and you know, I skipped out on that episode. We don't need to talk about your resolutions and all that stuff. It's boring. It's fucking boring. And we also talked about how New Year's is for losers. So I know it's not important to my listeners, because my listeners are not losers. You're winners and high achievers, and you're 100%. So anyway, it has been an interesting time away. I have been hyper focused on a number of things, definitely gearing tapped in up to hit another level this year, in the new year. Not that it's a fucking, you know, mission statement or a resolution, it's just facts. Working on like several different avenues of like how we can expand and like different artists we can talk to. I really want to break out into like the international kind of scope of music, so like maybe interview some fucking crazy rappers that were like exiled from Iran and like talk to fucking whoever's number one in Iraq or Afghanistan or something. You know, shit like that would be really cool. And then, you know, obviously London and shit, but that would be like Zooming, and it's kind of complicated. And then there's Omicron, which everybody is now also very freaked out about. My sister, who is like a human COVID punch card, did develop the Omicron, and I was with her. Very, you know, I drove her for like an hour from the airport and she had caught it in Vegas, I think. And I'm fine. I am vaxxed and boosted, like we've all discussed, but I take lots of vitamins and I keep as healthy as I can, and I'm fine. I did get sick, but I don't think it was Omicron. I tested negative, but then all I got was the sniffles, and people tell me you just with Omicron, you just get the sniffles, or you get a sore throat. And I had sniffles, that little sore throat. It really wasn't bad, but I tested negative. But how did I test negative? I used an at-home antigen test. What do they tell you? At-home antigen tests are not accurate. And I was like, whatever. I was home alone. My fucking fiance didn't get it. She's fine. Everything's fine. But I was like sick for a few days. No fever really. And I don't know what it was. Who knows? Perhaps it was Omicron. I guess you're supposed to hope it's Omicron now, because that's the good strain. It's better than the other strains. And it's a sign that we're turning the page and the pandemic's ending. But for some reason, everything's closing and I'm not allowed to even go back to work. That's a weird thing. I was supposed to go back to work and they're like, stay home. So I don't know. I'm not here to make sense of everything. I'm here to make fun of everything. And everything's funny. Make no mistake, the freaking out of like both sides are fucking hilarious. People that are that aren't vaccinated should die. They should die in their house. It's like the same woman that says that shit is also, you know, her kid. There was a story of a woman where her child had tested positive for the vid, and she put him in the trunk of her car, and then she took him to another site while he was in the trunk of her car to get tested to be sure he was positive. Of course, he was positive again, and put him in the trunk of her car to take him home so she wouldn't contract it. So again, I get it. One side of people saying, I'm not getting a jab, I'm not taking a vaccine, I drink urine. You can Google that. That's a new thing that some people are saying. They're saying you can just drink urine. And then the other end of like, you know, I'm going to put my child in the trunk of the car because I can't get it either. And the spread and the, like it's enough. But it is all funny. So I don't mind. You can keep acting extreme. I will continue to write jokes, and the world spins, right? We keep going around. I was worried selfishly that my plans may be canceled in a week. I'm supposed to go to New Orleans to attend a wedding, and I'll be flying with my fiance, and I haven't been able to travel a lot. I haven't been on a plane in a long time, so I'm just excited to see the new normal and take a nap on a fucking 3-hour flight with a mask on and do all the stupid shit that you're supposed to do now. But yeah, it's been a while, and I'm excited to travel. And, you know, it's nice to be able to get away for a little bit. I mean, it is a wedding, but I get to be like a fucking true bystander, third party. I'm not in the wedding. Nobody wants me there, really. I'm a plus one, you know? So, and being a plus one is always nice. Like, if you go to a wedding or anything as a plus one, it's nice. You get to take in everything. First of all, you get to partake in the best stuff. You get to drink, you're boozing, you're eating, but there's no stakes. It's low stakes. You can talk to, you know, Meemaw, of the bride, who's like, you know, frightening and very perhaps a QAnon or Antifa or whatever her fucking leaning is, that nobody wants to talk to. You can talk to her and there's no stakes. You're not worried about being judged. I don't matter. I'm not going to make any impact. If I do, it'll be irrelevant because I'm not part of the family. I'm a plus one. Plus one is great. Plus one is so fucking, I can complain later. It doesn't matter or hurt anybody's feelings. It's just a great vantage point. And I'm like truly treating the trip like a plus one. Like my fiance is like, do you want to like schedule like a tour? Should we like, I'm like, let's do plus one shit. Like, I don't want to do any of that. You know, like I haven't traveled in a while. I want to be able to like just willy nilly get a beignet and a fucking coffee. I do want to go to the French Quarter, but that's not a scheduled event. You don't need to make reservations to watch like, you know, three dudes on the corner strumming a fucking stand up bass and smoke a cigarette with a funny hat and drink a coffee. That's shit I can just do willy nilly any day in New Orleans. So I want to do that. I want to try to keep it light and loose and fun. I'll be here next week though. Don't worry. I'll be here on Monday. But you know, it's been crazy, and I'm excited to, you know, keep pivoting. But, anyway, the short is I did spend a lot of my break, you know, trying to figure out wedding shit, with my fiance. And that's been a whole other, I mean, it's no surprise. Like, weddings are grifts. Like, it is a fucking grift. It is the worst grift of all time. Everything's marked up because of COVID. People are getting married left and right. And so everything's experiencing a markup, and it's going to be COVID forever. And they're just going to keep marking shit up. So I've accepted, like, there's just a bunch of money that's going to be spent, that doesn't have to be and shouldn't be. But again, it's ritual. It's like what you do. I don't care. Like, I'm sick of trying to rationalize something that's completely irrational, right? You know, and I just, weddings in general upset me. Like, just celebrating yourself, it seems like a huge, you know, waste of time where you're just kind of sucking yourself off. But hey, it's what you do. It's what you do. That's where I'm like, I'm starting to realize that. And culturally, I guess, you know, like on my Iranian side, like Persian ceremonies are kind of cool and they're like a big deal and stuff. And they're really nice and they can be done really tastefully. They can be done really tacky. So I'm excited, I guess, to do that and have my own flair on shit. But my advice is just don't get married. And, you know, if you do, ideally somebody you love that doesn't want a wedding. But for me, it's working out because I fucking love my fiance and she's really cool. But she's like, if I took her to Vegas and we went to like an Elvis drive-thru, like she'd be happy. Like that's what she would do. And that's what I would do. I really don't care. And we'd have like, you know, Blue Label, fucking, Johnny Walker, right? Let's spend like $200 and get a burger or something and call it a day. But, you know, weddings are not for you. Weddings are for others. They're for your parents. They're for dumb fucking relatives who you don't care about that are dying soon. It's for everybody kind of but you. And it's a dumb song and dance that I hope to break with my children. if I have kids, I'd just be like, yeah, it's not happening. No, we already got you your gift. It's a condo. Yeah, you can retire, son. There you go. There you go. That's what I would do. I'd be like, you know what, son? You're not having a wedding. You get a supply of Lucy J CBD. That's what you get. That's all you're getting there, sport. You're getting Lucy J CBD. Which brings me to my primary point of the show, the best point, the midway point, where we always talk about our favorite people on planet Earth. Lucy J CBD pre-rolls. Look, if you're trying to chill and relax after a long day, Lucy J CBD is your fucking best bet. It's not written here. Is your best bet. The CBD version of Lucy J is not intoxicating, but most people report a sense of well-being and uplifting mood from the CBD flower found in the pre-roll. There is a calming effect from the CBD and the terpenes in the premium hemp flower. Follow at Lucy J CBD on Instagram and Facebook for more info and visit lucyjcbd.com. They do have their e-store, and I don't have a promo code or anything to give you yet, but I'm telling you, if you want that Lucy J delivered to your front door, do it. And DM me on Instagram. Maybe I'll send you a batch just because you listen to the show. for my world, didn't do any stand-up during my break. I'm going to hang out with the great Mark Lee this week to plan my comedy shows and also get him to, he's going to be my little accountability buddy, and we're going to go out and do some shit. He's still podcasting on the Not Another Monday podcast, and I think he wants to do a podcast too or something. So more information to come, but it's very, very exciting to be getting the comedy going full swing. You know, I've talked about it on the show before. If you can quit your job and do your podcast and do your comedy and do your blah, 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 it's great, you know, but the idea is like you never stop. Like you don't fucking give in. You have to keep pushing and keep moving. And I think like something that's underrated is like human spirit, right? So like you can fold and bend and whatever, but it's important to know like your place kind of, right? Like it's important to know like where you're at in life and like what you're capable of and what the next step kind of looks like. And
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
As with anything, you don't want like just some frivolous willy-nilly goal. You want like action items and tangible things and different levels you can hit. And when you hit your ceiling, you look to reinvent. And I feel like kind of like with Tapped In, I'm already doing that with the marketing and stuff and the expansion of guests that I want on the show. But in equipment, we got a bunch of equipment. We're going to add some cameras too, so that'll be cool. But yeah, there's just simple shit like that. And I think in the, you know, in 22, I'm going to, as the year rolls through, I'm going to keep implementing these things to keep taking it to the next level. And another part of that is perhaps expansion into Patreon with this show. So I'm looking forward to everything. And thank you so much for obviously listening and supporting me along the way. You guys are ultra important. But yeah, I, you know, this past week, I did have a bunch of horseshit to deal with. And one of the primary or like more annoying things that I had to deal with was my father. And here's the deal. Like, everybody's got a dad, right? Everybody's got a dad. Everybody's got a mom. Maybe you don't. Some people are born without one, and that's fucking unfortunate. They bit the dust or they bailed. They went to get a pack of smokes, never came home. I get it. I get every angle. But for me, my particular situation is pretty fucked up. I brought my dad on the show a while back. He was using, but, you know, I brought him on and had him do like a whole spiel about using and what it's like for him as a user. And the episode did really well last year, but you know, he fell pretty hard off the wagon. And at the time he was kind of already off the wagon, but now he's like full gone. And in July, I made a pretty public choice, even on the show, I let you guys know, to go into therapy. And therapy has been great and everything's going well. And I'm working, I'm beating the PTSD out of me, but there's a lot of shit that comes with, you know, the fucking scars that are left on your fucking psyche dealing with someone who is an addict for your entire life. And I sympathize with you guys. I know a lot of people that listen have parents that are addicts, you know, and it's not fun. Like as a comedian, I can say a lot of the best comedic qualities of me, a lot of the best attitudes on life I have come from adversity, and they come from having a fucking dad like my dad. So it is a weird double-edged sword, right? Like, you're happy for the lessons you have, but it's like, God damn it, at what cost? And my dad's so far off the wagon, he's like running around getting drunk, and he's not in a program anymore. And I wanted him to be in a program for at least a year so I could, you know, do my thing. He does his thing. Maybe we'll link up after. But at this point, I don't know where the fuck he is. And I've heard different things. People saying he's drunk and roaming the streets. And, you know, but my dad, even when my dad's drunk, he would always say he'd be like, I can't be in a shelter with those freaks. He'd be like, I can't be I don't want to talk to the fucking social worker like a loon and all this shit. And he'd get an Obama phone, like he'd get a free phone from the government and he'd flip it for cash. So again, like in LA, we have so many services you can take advantage of. My father believes he's above them. And, you know, God bless him. I know he's still alive and kicking and running around, but hoping he gets better. But, you know, again, my point is it's been a weird thing where like, I'm happy because the therapy's working. It's less of a fucking burden on me and I'm not as freaked out at these events. But these used to be things that would send me on fucking spirals. Like as soon as I knew my dad was homeless and drunk, I would be like, okay, well, I got to fucking find the chief of police. And then I'd fucking figure out, okay, is he in the fucking tank? Is he arrested? Is he in jail? Is he in prison? Is he in a psych ward? Is he dead? Is he in a motel? What the fuck is going on? And I'd have to like coordinate this fucking full-blown search. I'm his kid. I'm not his parent. I'm a parentified child where I think I'm his parent, which is fucked up, but I'm his kid. There's only so much your kid should be able to do. And what about me? Where's my dad, fuckos? Exactly. Anyway, have a good night. That's the end of the show. No, but I mean, in reality, right? I mean, it's like I fucking matter. That's the thing. And I'm trying to tell you guys, as clear as I can, you matter too. You fucking matter. What you have going on, super important. You got, you wake up, you go to your fucking job, you put your shoes on one at a time. Whatever you do, it matters. It really matters. It really does. You're really important. Even if you're not, you are. I'm here to tell you, you are. And it's important to like reprioritize your life sometimes. And I think it doesn't matter how hard it is, whether it's a parent who's an addict or if you have a kid who's an addict or whatever, you got to have your priorities in place and not out of whack so you can keep accomplishing things and completing things. You don't be so fucking scatterbrained and panicked and riddled with anxiety 24/7 to the point where you can't even live any semblance of a normal life, right? The goal is not to like, want to help my father so badly that I don't live, right? And I've done that for a number of years. I spent most of my 20s doing that. So, you know, we love him. We love him on this show. It was a great episode, but we're not going to lose our minds over this. So, yeah, just a little update. That's kind of what I was dealing with. And I'm doing good. You know, I'm doing good. I'm solid. And I'm excited to put the pen to paper and write some good shit out of this, you know, and get out there and perform it for folks who may not want to hear it, but they're gonna get an earful. And that's good. You know, it's good. It's good to be able to flip that shit. But yeah, back to the grifts, you know, like I said, I was dealing with wedding vendors and fucking flowers cost $5,000. And it's like, what the flying fuck? Go to Trader Joe's, put a couple arrangements out, call it a day. I just don't want to deal with that shit. That's the shit I don't. It's like, okay, well, we're gonna get a bartender. Oh, that's great. We have to rent glasses. What? They don't come with glassware? No, and we need a highball cup, and we need shot glasses, and we need servers, and we need the little, you know, cocktail tails, the little cocktail straws, and then there's what's our theme? I'm like, theme? We're getting married. That's the theme. What? There is no other theme. Like, what's our vibe? Do we have a color palette? I'm like, holy fuck. Isn't this just we're fucking forever? That's what this is, right? Like, isn't this just like a I promise it's you indefinitely ? I love you, I do. Like, but no, it's much more complicated. There's spreadsheets and God. Ugh. I have enough going on. I have more than enough. I don't want to deal with it. There's more shit, you know? And it's like, here's the point, right? Here's the point. It's like, it should be easy. Like, it's life's, as funny as it sounds, life's easier the easier you make it. Like, I've found, as fucking corny as this might sound, and there's nothing funny about this, but I found that, like, being scheduled, like, I used to think it's, like, a dorky, like, nerds have schedules and fuck schedule. Like, being scheduled has changed my life. It's so boring and plain, and it might make no sense to, like, drug addicts, but or losers, but being scheduled has changed my life, like, period. Having regimen, like having a thing I do every fucking day, rain or shine, doesn't matter if it's my birthday, I'm waking up, I'm fucking going to the gym, or I'm going outside and taking a fucking 3-mile walk or whatever. Having regimen has changed my fucking life. I've become more efficient, I've become happier, I've accomplished more things. So it's like, yeah, it was nerdy and whack when I was young, but as an adult, it's fucking game changer. So for you guys making all your bullshit resolutions and I'm gonna lose the fucking I'm losing the weight this year, or like I'm gonna, you know, I'm getting together the boys and we're gonna go out and flip tires, whatever you're doing, at least put it on the calendar. I promise it'll be that much easier to accomplish. Get in that zone. Get in that fucking zone and start planning that shit. It is infinitely an easier way to live your life. So much easier. It's my tip. We'll call this whole thing calendar scheduling. It just gets, it cuts through the bullshit, you know? It really helps cut through the bullshit. Yeah, so anyways, I hope you guys had a great week without me last week. I'm sorry. I came back this week. Please send all of your questions and concerns to the unfunnykevinshow@gmail.com. Be sure to check us out on Spotify. We have the Unfunny Kevin Show playlist. That's all the music I play at the end of the show. Leave us a review in the Apple Podcast Store if you have an Apple device, 5 stars, and write something. The comments are greatly appreciated and they really help the show. If you listen on Spotify, there's a rating there now, so please leave 5 stars there. Again, can't do this without you. I appreciate it. I'm sorry I missed last week. Go ahead and follow on Unfunny Kev on Instagram, UNFUNNYKEV, Unfunny Kevin on Twitter, and be sure to keep supporting the show, unfunnykevin.com, for all the episodes. All right, I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week, and I will talk to you next week.
Into the eye of the storm, rappers just battle me for the glory. It gets gory, they shitty like suppositories. That's the end of the story, bury his body in Missouri. Banish the apparatus, the Gladys, the crematories. My territory, perimeter of purgatory. Stygian witches of vicious, malicious inflictions upon your click circulatory. Causing hand spasms, rip through your motherfucking temple like phantasm. Hologram has them and walks through the holy arches. Left you in the forest with your carcass in the harness. Death is upon us, we slam like Adrian Adonis. Swarm on the warm blood like malicious piranhas. Islamic bombers, no contender is parallel. When I'm on paper, devastator like 7-0. So where I dwell, without question rattles the league. Left you in a vessel with severe battle fatigue. Before you leave, I insist you listen to Morax. Before I saw cats making weapons out of your thorax.